Koji is a venture capital firm cultivating community. This podcast is dedicated to cultivating conversations. Web 3.0 is democratizing the internet, and Koji Conversations is here to democratize access to the founders, investors, and creators building it from the ground up. Angelo is the founder of Build. Build is a community-first, real estate-second approach to co-working that brings together members with a vested interest in the cities that they live, work, and play in. This is a really big moment for us at High Definition because this is our first ever episode of a new series we're releasing called Unearthed. The idea of Unearthed is to really be able to connect early stage founders and projects with yourselves, the crypto community. The idea is by showcasing and highlighting these early stage projects, you'll be able to tap into these early communities, really become a core contributor, and help grow the protocol from a really early stage in its life cycle. This is one of the benefits of working and participating in the Web3 space. So we want to help facilitate that process and, I guess, connect early stage projects with like-minded individuals that want to see it succeed. So without further ado, here's the Unearth series, here's Angelo, and here's Build. Angelo, thanks so much for coming on High Definition. It's a pleasure to have you here. And, you know, we've had a lot of conversations in the past, so it's great to finally have you come on and be our first guest for the Unearth series.
Jack, thanks for having me, and really appreciate the opportunity to hop on here, and it's just an honor to be on this episode and having get to know the Koji team over the last couple of months, and really excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Awesome, man. So you are the founder of Build, the project Build, which is Web3 native. I think let's just start off with the elevator pitch. What is Build? And I guess sell it to me.
You know, the biggest takeaway here is that it's a community first, real estate second approach to co-working, right? So, you know, what does that look like? So essentially, you know, there's a couple variables at play here. You know, since COVID hit, you know, I'd say the future of work is definitely a clean slate. Like, there's not a lot of success with people pulling back to, you know, going back to the office 100% of the time. I think also you see people who work from home 100% of the time are not also, you know, too keen on doing that as well. Like, you know, we all, you know, crave human interaction. We want to chat with others. And then, so obviously that's a big problem slash opportunity that, you know, we're looking at. And then the other kind of dynamic here is less of a problem and more of kind of a new way of doing things. So we've seen, we've obviously seen lately a lot of these social communities forming in Web3 that are extremely cohesive, extremely tight knit, and they're translating well into, offline interactions. So, Bored Ape Yacht Club, Friends with Benefits, et cetera. And, you know, social community has gone, I mean, you could trace it back to just any given subreddit is a pretty cohesive community. So, you know, when I talk about the community first approach here, that is where we're primarily focused. So, you know, we have a Discord as pretty much the MVP, extending that out to presence across the net and, you know, Twitter, Reddit. We have a website, and, essentially we're building that community, building those authentic connections early on into the community. And then essentially once we have kind of a critical mass of people in each city chapter, so to speak, we can essentially use that as leverage to, you know, actually, whether that be negotiating a new lease with the landlord for a lot of unused seats, which are, you know, quite a bit of them are out there, or, and this is kind of how we've written in the white paper, is that you would have member hosted spaces where people can come and work. So yeah, community first, real estate second approach to co-working. And we've kind of encapsulated that in a mission statement of to build, accommodate, and invest in a collective of innovators vested in the respective interests of their localities. I'm happy to kind of break that down a little bit further, but it was the most concise way I think we can articulate the mission.
Man, that's a great soundbite. I love that. Awesome pitch, Angelo. I think before we get into the product, it'd be really good to get a bit more context on yourself and how you found your way into crypto.
Sure. Yeah. So I was born and raised San Diego, California, went to uni there as well, and then went into the Army as a, did ROTC and commissioned as an engineer officer, which was a great experience. And then, after the Army, transitioned out into B school and really quickly found my, I think, long-term professional home working with startups, kind of for two reasons. I think I may have mentioned earlier, but you can take any given interest and there's somebody making a business out of it, which I just think is awesome. And the other kind of thing is you are always making decisions out of incomplete data, which I found very relatable to my time in the Army as well. So, kind of already always kind of, operating the fog, so to speak. And I think that's where I kind of...
playing in the gray.
Yeah, sure. Something like that. But yeah, so that's where... really enjoyed that aspect of it as well. So worked with startups, kind of matched the theoretical, educational piece of B school with the more tactical elements of working with startups in the free time I had. Right after, joined a startup leading product and growth for a fintech, actually, that we basically built an AI chatbot that automatically negotiated bank fees and interest charges on the user's behalf. So yeah, literally it went in there. Overdraft fees, insufficient funds fees, interest charges, the bot would essentially just kind of keep bugging the bank until they got money back for the customer. So, in the span of 2 years, we ended up getting over $6 million in refunds for customers, which is just an awesome, it's just an easy mission to get behind, right? So, So really enjoyed that time and definitely got a lot of, developed a lot of kind of hard skills that I think were relevant for build. And so, in parallel to while I was building that, I've been following the Web3 space for the last 4 years. And, what I saw in parallel was just like a technology that just provided a massive amount of leverage to kind of some of the same things that, we were kind of tackling, there. That I just, we built a kind of a brute force chatbot to get back bank fees. And then here in Web3, it's like, we'll just build an entirely new system altogether from scratch that will, completely shift how we handle our money. So that was just an extremely high leverage thing that I was just fascinated by. And so, I guess, to a sense, kind of aped in early and then just developed conviction along the way. So that's probably the easiest way to put it.
Perfect.
It's like, there's just so much to follow that you kind of just have to kind of get in quick and then like keep developing the convictions on like, hey, this is, this is a good application for this, or, I think this will work, or, where the opportunity lies. But yeah, so I just felt it was like, that was really the missing piece also for how build would be formed is that's where I saw like the really strong cohesive online communities that really just made sense to complete the picture for what we're doing.
Perfect. And I think that's probably a really good segue into the next question, which is sort of the problem space that you saw for build. And I guess sort of the reason why you wanted to tackle this problem in the way that you did.
Yeah. So great question. So I think probably the main problem here, I touched on a little bit about, future work is up for grabs, clean slate, but like, let's rewind back to before COVID. So, you could take any given number of, places that are co-working. The typical approach to co-working is that you go find a physical location that, you can reasonably expect a certain amount of people to come in, and whether they be freelancers, tech workers, whatever, they'll come in and, obviously pay for a flexible arrangement of seats. And then, a lot of times when you go into those places, there is kind of a, some do it better than others, but there is a little bit of a, artificial sense of community, or it is very much kind of forced. Like
massively.
You got them in for the, you get the people in for what the basic functional need is, and that is the seat to go work away from home, etc. So, and it's very siloed. You're in there, it can be quite siloed. You're working on your thing. You might have a couple good interactions here and there, but more or less, it's what you see is what you get. So taking the inverse of this with the community first approach, there is, we're seeing it right now in front of our eyes. Like we're seeing how strong these social communities are forming online. And even before Web3, I think you know, any given, again, I like to use the example of subreddits, but like those, a lot of those are kind of functioning as DAOs, so to speak. Like Wall Street Bets is, you know, it's not wrapped legally or whatnot, but I mean, it essentially functions as DAOs, a group of people online, you know, getting into the weeds on different investments, making strategies and kind of organizing the mass to do a, you know, a certain play in the market. And, you know, that's organized online communities, like actually having, you know, actually having an objective in the, you know, in the real world. So
100%. And that's exactly what Aaron Wright says as well. His sort of soundbite is DAOs are just subreddits with treasuries.
Yeah.
And I think that is so, it's a powerful statement because it is true. And you're seeing the effects of having these, I guess, really niche and strong and palpable communities be able to push the needle in certain aspects, which otherwise wouldn't work if it's a top-down model.
Yep.
And you really take this community-first model to the extreme. And I haven't seen many other projects go the route you did with the white paper. So let's talk about that. What was the idea behind the white paper, and specifically what's unique about your approach to making a white paper?
Yeah. So, so thank you again. I'm just going to come out here and be pretty transparent. The white paper is literally 2.5 months old. You know, it's open source. Anybody can come in, comment on it. Yes, we have the gears moving to get this thing off the ground and had a lot of great progress since. You know, we had, you know, I think I just released it in like a couple Telegram groups, and, you know, we have a 400 plus member Discord. You know, we're attracting a good amount of momentum that we're going to keep running with. But yeah, so the white paper, it actually started really even before the white paper with the logo and the domain name. So, you know, I kind of, you know, I was always, I think very, you know, quite interested in like the prerequisites of a given startup, or, you know, I've always been attracted, I think, to startups since, you know, there's, you can take any given interest in the world, and there's some, you know, there's somebody making a business out of it. But even before that, you know, it's the, you know, it's the ideas, it's the tinkering, it's the, you know, just trial and error of different, you know, combinations of things that, you know, end up forming a product. And that's kind of the place I've always enjoyed the most. And, you know, I find it as like the, you know, the verb build just being such a great, great intersection of like work and play, where it's like, you know, it's, this isn't quite work. It's not fully play either, but it's just like, you know, this is where I feel at home. So came up with a logo, you know, playing around with the underscore to just imply like, you know, what are you building, you know? And it also dovetails nicely with cities, so to speak. So I think, you know, there's two kind of main identities we're pulling in to the Discord. Like one, you identify as a builder, like whether that be a engineer, designer, founder, you know, if you're creating something, you're, you know, you fit that mold. And then the other piece, I think, is the city component. So, you know, there's been attempts, but there's not a lot of, I guess what I'm trying to say is you can't really translate a community from internet to real life without having geographical segmentation, like that we all recognize. Mm-hmm. So the city kind of identity is the other main pull that we're drawing people in from. You know, people have pride in their cities, you know, San Diego. I'm from San Diego. I love the Padres. They're a tough team to always be a fan for, but there's a couple cities I've lived in throughout my life that, you know, I feel strongly about, and I just think it's like a strong, it's obviously a strong identity for a lot of people. So those are the two main things that I was thinking in from, as far as like, okay, how do we kind of, you know, segment the cloud, so to speak, so that we can actually like start funneling people into, you know, in real life space. So that was actually probably the leading point, or kind of like the North Star vision for the rest of the white paper. And honestly,
that's completely open sourced as well.
Completely open sourced. Yeah. Honestly, you know, I took a first stab at it. You know, I you know, had a full-time great job at the time, but I just put out what I thought made sense. Right. And then, seemed to get a lot of reception. So, as of a month ago, I'm doing this full time now. So we're going for it.
And we know you're going for it, because ever since we started speaking to you a couple of months back now, I'd probably say It is incredible to see how quickly you're growing and how quickly the community is growing, and also the, I guess, level of retention and engagement with the community. So, I mean, if you're listening to this and you're keen to be, I guess, on the ground floor of a product, definitely jump into Build. The community is palpable. There's always a lot of work to be done. I mean, like we've just touched on, the white paper is completely open source. So you also get a chance to write comments on this white paper and help iterate it yourself. So you can actually have a substantial role in, you know, setting out the foundations and the vision for this product as well, which is honestly really unique. And it does speak to sort of your, the way that you look at the market and approach the community first approach. So I do also want to touch on the product as well. So we've covered sort of the high level vision piece. Yeah, it'd be great to understand what exactly the product is, how you expect it to grow, and how users can be involved in it.
Yeah, great question. So product at its base level is going to be quite simple. It's going to be, so we're going to have the ability for people to host physical space in the network. So we have minimum requirements for what that looks like. You know, it's 5 seats and a set amount of square meters or square feet, you know, certain level of Wi-Fi connection, et cetera. And that can take a lot of shapes, right? So, you know, we've chatted with, you know, we've had some ideas come up and people who are actually working on these places, or they have connections to these places, of a, you know, Costa Rican surf camp with like a large lounge area that can very much be a co-working spot. You know, places where, again, I won't name any companies, but other maybe co-working companies wouldn't, you know, they're not going to go consider a space there. And so, and then obviously, you know, there's, you know, quite a high supply of unused commercial office space that can easily be used as well. Yeah. So they would be staking for, you know, issuance from the protocol when, you know, when the DAO is activated. We will have a Build governance token, which will essentially be issued to those who are staking to the network for what we're calling those spaces as Build hubs, right? And then, so that's kind of on the supply side of spaces that we have provided the network. And we already have several verbal commitments on 2 continents now. We're looking to have one more before we, you know, essentially activate the network. And then,
which continents?
So right now, we have a working group with Australia, and then in the awesome. US as well. Yes, yes. And then 2 spots in New York. And so, yeah, so North America and Australia.
That's awesome. So just to get the supply side understanding, that component is basically if you have a commercial lease or a space that could be used and occupied by people within this Build community, you can basically stake it and get reimbursed for doing so via the DAO treasury.
Correct. Yes. So they will awesome. Stake there. And so, you know, we have some mechanisms in place where it's like, it's not really, you know, anybody can put up a picture of a place and then, you know, say it's there. But I think that's probably a good lead in to the member facing side, mm-hmm. which we do define all of our community, you know, who will, you know, have these as members, because it is, you know, digital community, it's a membership. It's not just like, hey, I need co-working space. So on that side, we will be issuing NFT passports. So these are global passport NFTs, which give you access to any of the spots. And those would be the ones we start out with, our, you know, global passports, which will give you access to any of the spots in the network. Still working through some of the piece about how, you know, seat days are allocated, you know, payments for those, but essentially, on the member facing side, that will get you access to the gated Discord. And then again, all the spaces that we have coming online in the, you know, in the world.
That's incredible. So I'm assuming none of these NFTs, these global passport NFTs to date have been minted, but if you're a member and you hold a global passport NFT, you can utilize any of the Build hubs around the world. So say, for example, you know, I live in Australia, but I want to go to America, specifically New York, when that New York Build hub is opened up. If there is a seat available and I am an NFT global passport holder, I will be able to go straight in there and start using that co-working space, or like the community-centric place for innovation, essentially.
Exactly. So, you know, so the MVP we're working on now, it will be essentially, you know, you can view all the space. Anybody can, as long as you're in the Discord, you'll be, you know, asked to sign in with the Discord, and then that will bring you to a space where you can view all the hubs, you can view the availability and everything, but you can't schedule it until you connect your wallet and show proof of holding that NFT passport. And we do have a mechanism in place or qualify as an MVP, which allows, you know, the hub host and the members to actually, you know, verify at the time that they visit the space that yes, you are in fact the NFT passport holder, you made this reservation. But yeah, that's essentially it. So any Build member can view the spaces, and then a passport holder can actually reserve and then go ahead and access those spaces.
Awesome. And I do like that all this information that you're sharing right now isn't hidden behind any closed doors, any team meetings. This is all in the open source white paper as well. So, I mean, if you're listening, you're super interested and you want to understand more, definitely check out this white paper. It pretty much lays this all out for you. And yeah, it's a great read and honestly pretty, pretty inspiring. And you get you really excited for the product itself. So it sounds like there's a couple of different mechanisms in play here. So you've got these NFT passports, but then you also mentioned there's a Build governance token. I'm just sort of interested in understanding the way that you're going to incentivize the behavior between maybe the two different token structures to create a cohesive community.
Yeah, so that's probably one of the things I think, you know, and we can operate this product without the, you know, we have the critical mass we need to operate the product without the, you know, full activation of the DAO yet. And honestly, you know, that's one of the pieces I think we would love input from the broader community. You know, hop into the Discord, check out the white paper. We do have a kind of foundation that I think is a good working direction where it absolutely incentivizes participation in the DAO and incentivizes those who are, you know, putting up actionable proposals that are then executed upon. And so that's a major piece of the actual, you know, token issuance that we've kind of want to make sure that we have correct is that, you know, you will be rewarded for, you know, reward is not the right word, but like your participation matters in this DAO. So, and that's on the governance level. And then again, like those who are staking the Build hubs will get an issuance, you know, of the Build governance token. But how it all fully kind of forms together is still, you know, still probably a work in progress, I'd say, at this stage.
For sure. And it's, I think just like the high level piece of the tokenomics, it's just sort of great to see the way that you're approaching it. There's a lot of terrible tokenomics design out there whereby the people that are actively contributing to the community aren't necessarily rewarded for doing so. And then those people that are more passive are. And it's very obvious when you look at the initial layout for the tokenomics that you are definitely looking to reward those that are being net positive to the community and incentivizing those people to provide longstanding value for Build, which I think is the right way to approach. And there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, over the next coming weeks and months that you'll be able to solidify something that's going to be beneficial for Build in the long term and those participants that help contribute to that. I think I do want to touch on this idea of, I guess, the traditional Web 2 model of this co-working space and then also what you're building. I know that you hate the word co-working. I'd like to touch on, I guess, what it's about, I guess, with the word in general that you don't like and then why or what you would rather call Build instead of a co-working space.
Yeah. So right now we have, you know, the tagline, the one-liner, and we're open again to, you know, well, anybody who's got a good proposal, go ahead, put it up and we'll put a community vote out, see if there's one that can replace it. But it is the most relatable, right? So co-working is, you know, everybody knows what that is. So it has high reach and you need high reach in order to, you know, get in members and everything. But it is a little bit of a stale term for the vision, I think. You know, we've toyed around with the idea of collaboration hub or whatnot, but like, you know, really, you know, and you'll notice this in kind of the execution part of the white paper, we have it in phases. So there's Build Online, phase one. Phase two is Build Lite, which is an asset light approach to accommodating members with the, you know, the physical spaces that would be hosted. Phase three is, you know, Build Assets. So that's where we would explore actually purchasing real estate, purchasing member houses for Build members to go ahead. And then phase four is build cities. And so that's where I think probably the biggest part of the vision lies, is that, you know, I really want this, and this is the last part of the mission statement, vested in the interests of their respective localities. So what does that mean? So that is where, you know, we really want this. We really want our members to, again, really have a kind of act local mentality when it comes to, you know, where they work, where they live. We don't want people just coming and going and, you know, not really thinking about, you know, what really makes that city that they're living in. I mean, I think, and I can kind of go on about this. I might kind of touch on a few different things, but like, you know, the decentralized world, I think, is just as much, this isn't really talked about, but it's just as much a geographical phenomenon. You know, nobody should be, you know, the majority of investment dollars and talent and capital shouldn't, I don't really think it should aggregate in, you know, certain, you know, certain main areas. You know, I don't, again, not naming any names, but like anybody, wherever they live, should be able to, you know, come up with an idea and go ahead and get what they need to actually build it. Because that's where, you know, where they live is very unique to the problems that they're able to solve. And so when I think of Web3, I think of it very much as like, almost like an irrigation, like a giant irrigation system of, again, talent and capital that can maybe flow out of more concentrated areas into regions that, you know, may just not have the resources to actually, you know, build up what they want to do. I mean, so that's kind of where that piece lies in. And so, and when I think of cities also, like, you know, there's a lot of, I think, probably inspiration of startup cities in the white paper, which is, you know, a big fan of Balaji's work. And, you know, it's just a fascinating concept. But when you look, you know, when I think of a given city that exists today, I mean, at one point it was a startup, like, and that's infrastructure that already exists. I don't know too many people, you know, if I was starting from scratch, who, you know, I will not pretend to underestimate the undertaking it takes to build like a sewage system or, you know, an electrical grid to start, you know, accommodating first hundreds and then thousands and then hundreds of thousands of people. Like this infrastructure already exists. I mean, you know, we're standing on the shoulders of a lot of hard work that you know, that went into building what, you know, what exists today. What may have gotten left behind is, I guess, kind of the tech stack, so to speak, or the technological amplification of things that could be done a lot more efficiently. And everything in Web3 is just more efficient. And if you look at any given, you know, historical invention, everything that's more efficient way of doing things always emerges to the top. So, you know, you can take things like, you know, after COVID, we had the, you know, welfare system built on COBOL, which would just, you know, nobody knew how to like get that to be a more efficient thing. We have the ACH system. We have the just even voting. I mean, there's a lot of interesting projects that came out of the Miami Coin Hackathon recently, where, you know, they had the protocol incentives go into basically a reserve fund for the city of Miami, and like one of the winning projects who's was one where people could dictate, or not dictate, but basically elect with their dollars exactly where they wanted the money to go. And so it's kind of like, you know, what if at the end of doing my taxes every year, I could simply say like, hey, I want this percent to go to education, this percent to go here. And then dollars are automatically routed to those locations. I mean, a transparent tax system equals a much more engaged citizen. And so those are the kind of things that, hey, if we can solve those in these existing cities, that's an incredible approach. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, if I'm anchoring at a higher vision, that's what I would love this to be. But, you know, we have to have a more palpable one up front so that we can kind of, you know, tackle it one at a time.
For sure. So just talking about those phases of build and like transitioning towards phase four. So you got phase one is the online MVP. So that includes sort of the Discord right now. Slowly transitioning towards phase two, which are these real world build hubs where NFT passport holders can sort of transition between the two as long as there's seats available in these hubs. Phase three is sort of this investment side of build, whereby you're buying up some of these actual commercial real estate land parcels. And then phase four is more so city centric. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. And so, you know, phase one and phase two are already seeing overlap. So, you know, we have verbal commitments from hubs, you know, prospective build hubs already. We're getting things ready for the Genesis Build Citizen Passport NFT, which will be pretty exciting. And then, you know, phase three is really kind of allowing, you know, some of the regulatory infrastructure in the US to kind of, you know, let's get that to a mature place before we just start crowdfunding, you know, massive plots of land. But, you know, I want that and I want those, you know, I want those plots of land to be owned by as many people as possible. I want to maximize that opportunity for everyone to be able to do that, but we're just not ready for that yet. And so, you know, phase one and two kind of serve as a wedge to, you know, the evolution of that environment so that we can get to a place where we can compliantly, you know, start executing on phase three. And then by that time, you know, we should have, you know, we'll have a pretty sizable member base that I think, you know, we can start tackling these, you know, maybe some of these bigger problems, or not problems, but basically opportunities in individual cities. And in some cases, a lot of cities, it's very much will be a leapfrog opportunity where there was no infrastructure at all. You know, there's aging infrastructure, and then there's just no infrastructure at all, which we can then, you know, be able to, you know, put a hackathon together and figure out, you know, have a global base of people who all want to solve the, you know, given solution or problem set for a small town, wherever. And I think I've actually been pretty deliberate about some of the early hubs being some of the smaller towns. So we partnered with an awesome organization called Innovation Collective. And, you know, this is a founder named Nick Smoot, and he's been great at going into a lot smaller communities in the US and really aligning way beyond just like setting up a co-working center. He's been able to align city leaders, you know, generational families in the area, you know, external resources, which he brings in and people to kind of help, you know, figure out, hey, what is the opportunity in this city? What can we kind of tackle together? And really, you know, has built some really strong offline communities that we're excited to start there. Because that's also starting in those places, you know, people talk about, you know, it's much easier also to test a lot of these things out in, you know, in smaller communities, smaller cities, you know, and get that adoption. And it becomes a competitive advantage, really, in, you know, kind of, you know, I don't want to say it's like just a test bed, but like being able to incubate solutions, which could very well be replicated in, you know, cities across you know, at least the US and potentially globally.
100%. And I feel like there's a lot of people listening to this right now that are super fascinated. I guess, how do they participate right now, and what's sort of up and coming that they can look forward to? Obviously, you've mentioned this sort of Genesis event for the NFT passports, but I mean, also just more generally, like what sort of activities go on weekly in the Discord that they can start jumping in and participating with? And how else would you like the community to interact with Build?
Yeah, so, you know, things we're doing now, they're pretty fun. So we're doing a weekly Wednesday AMA with other DAO founders, and not just DAO founders, but, you know, entrepreneurs, founders, builders, basically. So like last week, we did an awesome one with Kraus House, which is a DAO trying to buy and I believe they'll succeed buying an NBA team. Even before that, just join the Discord. So hopping in, making an introduction, you know, we lay out exactly kind of like, hey, you know, step one through four, make an introduction, check out our build values, check out the white paper. And, you know, we're still building out kind of a better onboarding experience, but, you know, that'll be an iterative process. So that'll be a big thing. And then probably the other major thing right now is, you know, and this is another reason we want to do this partnership also with Innovation Collective, is because it's very much like the offline grassroots approach that complements what we do as a you know, digital community first company. So it's much easier for us to aggregate people from, you know, online into New York, you know, from New York or LA or, you know, London or wherever. Yeah. But, you know, if I aggregate somebody from a small town, like they're going to be kind of, you know, they might be the only one. So So we really want to figure out that piece of how do we draw that bridge between, you know, local and global, you know, that local global bridge. So one of the first, and this is, we've outlined everything in, you know, build bulletins, which we push out kind of asynchronously to just give updates. And one of the very first ones we had was a, you know, call for city leads. So these are people who would be able to essentially kind of, you know, be that lead in that city for attracting the right member base, you know? And so we have a lot of activity at the global level, and we have, you know, the build guilds, but really ramping up, you know, how do we have that concentrated, you know, awesome group of build members that are in each individual city. And so, you know, the city leads is a great way to get started and, you know, start to rally people in. And, you know, it's not like we're measuring all success by just, oh, how many messages volume is in the Discord at any given time. You know, I think, in fact, the majority of my conversations, like either in real life or over Zoom, you know, coffee chat or whatnot, have been that the, you know, members, a lot of them are connecting offline already. Like they're not necessarily being too active in the Discord. And like, that's great. I mean, we put that specifically in the white paper. Like that's exactly, we would much rather have people, you know, connecting offline than, you know, just, you know, keyboarding out in Discord all day.
Awesome, man. I love the vision. It's going to be exciting to see it sort of unfold. And I mean, on our end, we're super stoked to sort of join you on that journey as well. Yeah, I mean, Angelo, great chat, man. Where do I go to check out more? What's your sort of like links if I want to keep following you?
Yes, the link, yes. I'll drop so
always the links, man. It's how you have to finish every podcast.
Probably best and only place you need to go is just buildcities.com. So buildcities.com will give you the link to the Discord, link to the white paper. And then probably the other second most active place we're at is on Twitter at joinbuild_. So you can see us those two places, and you know, you'll if you join the Discord, you'll see me probably putting too many things in there. So but feel free to reach out anytime, you know, send a DM. I'm trying to meet as many build members up front, you know, one-on-one that I can, you know, before I can't. Yeah, we'd love to have you in and share your story and your time.
Well, Angelo, thanks so much for coming on High Definition. It's a pleasure, dude.
Thank you, Jack. Yeah, this is a super awesome opportunity, and I can't wait to continue the journey and you know, love what you guys have been doing with this podcast. I listened to all the episodes already, so again, just really humbled to be here, and thank you so much.
Thanks for joining this Koji conversation. To continue the conversation offline, DM us on Twitter at @Koji_capital or reach out to us via email, hello@Koji.capital, or jump into our Discord linked in our bio.